Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take on this Feel Good Friday. Not for the Miami Heat. JJ Redick in studio. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Hello.
Kendrick Perkins, Stephen A., live from Denver. Fellas, how are we?
What's going on?
I was doing, it's been a long evening. I was doing absolutely wonderful until I got mic'd up and I heard this just awful singing. I don't know what the hell was going on before the show. I mean, it was screeching
in
my ear.
I just had
my man Juvie go and get me some Tylenol because I just got an instant headache and I'm trying to get over it. But I'm all right.
Sorry.
Other than that, I'm all right.
The music comes on, the voice goes, the hips move. I can't help it. It's Friday, guys.
Let's get it.
You know whose hips were moving? Nikola Jokic. He got a triple-double in his NBA Finals debut. Jamal Murray scored 26 points, and the Nuggets had little trouble with the cold shooting heat on the way to a 104-93 win in Game 1 on Thursday. Jokic finished with 27 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds for the Nuggets, a franchise that's waited 47 years to make the Finals and trailed for all of 34 seconds and eventually led by as many as 24. On the Heat side, Jimmy Butler had 13. Here he is post-game.
I definitely think they came out with a lot of physicality, and we have to be able to match that. They did their job on their home floor. You have to say that, but we will be ready. Like he said, we will adjust, do some things very differently, and come out here and be ready to get one for game two.
How much satisfaction do you take in the 9-0 record at home in the playoffs?
Have we lost game one?
No.
Oh. I think we're doing a good job.
Jokic scored or assisted on 58 points in Game 1. That was tied for third most in a player's finals debut. According to our analytics, Jokic is the second player in NBA history to lead both teams outright in points and assists in a finals debut, joining Michael Jordan, good company to be in, back in 1991. Okay, Perk, I want to talk to you, my friend. You went out on a limb. You picked the Heat to win the series. So are you still feeling confident now that Game 1 is in the books in Miami?
Well, Miley, first of all, I don't believe that I went out on a limb for picking the team that actually made it to the NBA Finals.
Okay, sorry for the trigger word.
They knocked off the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics, the two teams that had the best record in the NBA. That's number one. Number two is that I still feel confident in the Miami Heat team. I'm not going to overreact from this game one, although the Nuggets did play well. But like Jimmy Butler said, they're going to make adjustments. I feel like Eric Spoelstra, the best coach in basketball, I got the utmost trust in him when it comes down to putting his guys in position to be successful. I will say this, though. When you look at the NBA Finals, it is different. It is different. When you walk into the arena, it is different. The vibe when you walk out to get your pregame shots before you run out with the team, it's different. And I think we saw that last night when it came down to the role players of the Miami Heat, Max Strus, Caleb Martin. They felt the energy. Now, it's even harder when you're on the road. And number two, I seen too many my bads that had nothing to do with adjustments. It was simple switches that could have been communicated. And two of those were in the second quarter by Bam Adebayo. And I thought when the Heat were chipping away at that double-figure lead, those two switches back-to-back, that really cost them to make a run. Not saying that they was going to win the game, but you need that, especially from a guy that's in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation every single season. And I watched him go to the bench, and he sat down. He looked down towards the end of the bench and said, "My bad." No, you can't have my bads on those mistakes. So I'm still confident that the Heat can win this series. I will give a lot of credit to the Denver Nuggets. They came out, they found the mismatches, but I do believe Eric Spoelstra will make adjustments, and he will have his team ready for game two.
You know what, Perk? I just want to say this. You know, I have no evidence. I have no proof of this whatsoever. It's just sheer speculation. I think this is the first time that I've looked at you and I've seen, and I said to myself, he is lying to the American public. There is no way in hell that he can believe that there is nothing to be concerned about with the Miami Heat. They're just, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the Denver Nuggets. They just seem so much bigger. Miami seems so much smaller. You spend the first three quarters shooting 7 of 27 from three-point range. We've got a guy in Max Strus. I understand, you know, John Starks 0 for 11 in 94. I mean, I forgot who else it was. I think it was Steph Curry 1 year. He went 0 for 9. Ray Allen went 0 for 13 in 2010. You were there. You was teammate. You know this. But to be 0 for 10 from three-point range, I mean, Max Strus, he was just awful. Caleb Martin was awful. I don't expect that to continue because you can't get much worse than what we've seen from them. But when you look at the greatness of Jokic, when you look at Jamal Murray, when you look at Aaron Gordon bully his way to 12 first-quarter points, and you everywhere you turned, there was just a size mismatch on the part of the Denver Nuggets. I just looked at Miami and I was like, my God, they just look so small. They look so little compared to Denver. How are they going to overcome this? Cody Zeller was in the lineup. I mean, I'm not trying to laugh at the brother. I wish him nothing but the best, but my Lord, I'm like, if you're in Miami, this is the same Miami Heat team in 2006 that had Shaq and Alonzo Mourning. And I remember, you know, I'm sitting there and Jerry Stackhouse and those boys are telling me back then we were actually fearful when Alonzo Mourning came in the game because he was a racer. He was erasing everything. You think about that. You think about the big men that Miami have had on their squad with their championships. And then you just say to yourself, you look at them last night, and my God, it's just, I'm not even talking talent. I'm just talking size. I just said, man, they just look so small. So to me, that in and of itself is big, big reason to get worried because there's not much that they can do if they're not making their perimeter shots because they certainly ain't going to make but so much noise in the interior.
Yeah, I'm not confident in the Miami Heat, and I picked the Denver Nuggets to win this series, and I after last night, I have no evidence to suggest they won't. And you guys have brought up some of these concerns for the Heat side. The thing is, we've now played we've seen 16 Denver Nuggets playoff games. No one has found an answer for the Jokic-Murray two-man action. And that was on full display last night. Second time in NBA history that teammates have scored 25 points and 10 or more assists. And the only other time was 1987 Game 1, Magic and James Worthy. We'll get to more on that two-man action in a little bit. The size disparity that you guys brought up, it was on full display in that first quarter. Every time that Aaron Gordon got a switch, he absolutely punished it. On the other end of the floor, Aaron Gordon on Jimmy Butler. Jimmy only had 8 drives, his lowest in this postseason. A lot of that had to do with Aaron Gordon. Then they decide to target Michael Porter Jr. because they think he's a bad defender. Okay, well, you shot 1 for 9 against Michael Porter Jr. when he was the primary defender because he's 6'10". So the size is on both ends of the floor. Then the zone, which a lot of has been made of this Miami zone. They came out to start the second quarter in the zone. Jokic was off the floor. Denver scored on 4 of the first 5 possessions against that zone. Then Jokic came in back in the game. They went away from it. They went back to it in the fourth. Denver was 4 for 11, but they had 4 great looks from 3. They missed those, which brings me to my last point. Everybody's going to talk about Max Strus missing shots and Caleb Martin missing shots and Duncan not being able to get himself going. The Denver Nuggets shot 8 for 27 from 3. Michael Porter Jr., their best three-point shooter, was 2 for 11 and had a lot of good looks. Let's not act like the Denver Nuggets played their best basketball game. There's a lot to be concerned about if you're the Miami Heat.
Well, first of all, S.A., let me enlighten you on something. I have no reason to lie to the American people, okay? I done been to 5 NBA finals, started in 3 of them. So lying to the American people is not what I do. Now, I'm speaking from experience. And when I just sit up here and told you that Eric Spoelstra is going to make adjustments, I believe he will. I thought he should have started the game last night with Kevin Love on the floor and went to his big lineup. He went away from that in the Boston series because of Boston majority of the series starting Al Horford and them going small. And rightfully so, he should have made that. That wasn't the series for K-Love. But this is the series, in my opinion, for Kevin Love and Bam to be on the floor together. because you could put K-Love on Jokic. Now, is he going to stop Jokic? No. But Kevin Love has been here. He's smart as hell. He's not the quickest person, but he knows how to play position basketball, and he didn't been through the war, right? Coming down 3-1, multiple NBA finals. So I'm not afraid to throw him in the moment. Now, all of a sudden, you can shift, bam, onto Aaron Gordon, and now let's see them play. I believe that you should have more minutes for the kid Highsmith. I thought what he did coming in off the bench with his size, his athleticism, his motor was impactful. We don't know when Tyler Hero is coming back. There's speculations he's coming back for game two. I don't know how much he's going to be in rhythm. But the one thing I do know, dealing with the Heat culture, that he's going to be in shape. So when I say I still have confidence in the Miami Heat to win this series, I don't have no reason to doubt him. I don't have no reason to doubt them. I don't have no reason to doubt Eric Spoelstra. Again, you have talked about this. You, about how great of a coach Eric Spoelstra is. You don't think he's going to make adjustments? You don't think he's going to put those guys out there in position to be successful? All of a sudden, if you have Kevin Love and Bam on the floor, I would like to see who the Denver Nuggets are going to put on each guy. Maybe they put Michael Porter Jr. on Kevin Love. Maybe they put Aaron Gordon on Kevin Love. We don't know. But I feel like Eric Spoelstra will also do a better job of getting Jimmy Butler the ball in positions where he could be effective. He tried to get him in the low post area against Aaron Gordon. That's not going to work. He got to be able to create those mismatches and get Jimmy Butler some easy looks. And I got the utmost confidence in him. The great sign for the Miami Heat last night was that Bam Adebayo actually showed up offensively and did his thing. This was the best he's been played since the Knicks series.
Well, that's fair enough. First of all, when you look at Jimmy Butler, he was 3 of 4 when defended by Aaron Gordon. He was 1 of 9 when defended by Jokic. So that's something that I'd like to throw out there. He was averaging about 18 drives a game. He only had about 8 drives, like J.J. Redick pointed out a bit earlier. He only had about 8 drives. He was really averaging about 18 drives a game prior to game one. So we got to look at that. And certainly you can expect Eric Spoelstra to make adjustments. But the question is, whatever adjustments you're talking about making, if you consider them undersized and you consider Denver, like J.J. pointed out, how you're struggling shooting and you're still up 21 at the end of three quarters, that doesn't exactly bode well for the Miami Heat. When I think about Kevin Love, we can talk about his size. I'm saying I hope you're talking about something defensively, because offensively, Kevin Love, for the most part, is known for shooting perimeter shots. He ain't known for being somebody that's in the low post doing damage. Early in his career, that may have been the case. But as of late, over the last few years, that's not something that you expect from him, to be quite honest with you. So looking at Denver and what they're throwing at you, looking at the size of Jokic, at the size of Aaron Gordon, at the size of somebody like Jeff Green even coming off the bench, I'm just looking at it and I'm saying, looking at Miami, respecting their talent, respecting their greatness from the top down and what they bring to the table, I think that, as we say in the sport of boxing, matchups make fights and stuff like that, this is a matchup that just seems very, very daunting, to say the least, for the Miami Heat, strictly due to size issues, as far as I'm concerned.
And Park, look, I don't want to take anything away from Bam, because I thought he had a fantastic game. But it seems to me like the Denver Nuggets are willing to live with him shooting two-point jumpers in that short roll area. Like, it's sort of like death by a thousand paper cuts. Mm-hmm. If that's how you're going to win, we're willing to live with that. 25 shots, 26 points. I don't know that that overall gets it done if you're the Miami Heat.
No, right, I also want to get into...
Oh, go ahead.
You can respond, and then
I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, I also want to get into the greatness of Denver as well here, right, JJ? Are Jokic and Murray the best duo in the game?
Yeah, I do. I think they're easily, actually, the best duo in the game. And this isn't about 2K ratings or one-on-one bucket getters or aggregate stats totaling, you know, total points between your two best players. This is about how they affect the game of basketball, which is a team sport. And to use an Aaron Rodgers word, their synchronicity on the basketball court. There's a connectivity. There's an intuitiveness to how they play basketball. I got a couple plays here I want to break down. So let's start with this, because right now, if you're the Miami Heat, you've got your two best defenders, Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, on Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Couldn't ask for a better situation. Let's run it. They get to this low pick and roll. eventually gets to a switch, and Jokic gets the ball in the post. Now, he's going to survey the field. So he's going to wait. Murray is in this little loaded position. Bam, loading to the basketball. Nikola Jokic has his eyes dead set on this action right here. What is going to happen here? And what makes Jamal Murray so special is his ability to play off the basketball and on the basketball. So a little rip screen here. They don't want to switch it because Michael Porter Jr. can cut to the basket and get a dunk. They stay at home. Easy Jamal Murray three. Again, moving without the basketball, playing off of Jokic. Then Kyle Lowry had just hit two threes. It's a 10-point game right here in the fourth quarter. What do you need? What do you need? We can always go to the two-man game between Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. So they're going to get into this action right here. Jokic rolls to the short roll, and watch Jeff Green right here behind the defense. They create so much for everyone else because of their synchronicity, because of their connectedness. Everybody on this team gets to eat, and that's why they're the best duo, because they impact the game not just with their scoring, their passing, their playmaking. Everybody on the Denver Nuggets relies on these two guys and this duo.
You know what? I have no argument about them being the best duo in this postseason. I'm not ready to crown them for as being the best duo overall because – again, it comes down to the best player in the league conversation. It's fluid. It fluctuates every single month. It fluctuates every single year. 1 minute is Steph. 1 minute is Giannis. 1 minute we may say Klay and Steph is still the best duo. The next minute we say Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum the best duo. KD go to Phoenix. They the best duo. In this postseason, absolutely. You have no argument whatsoever for as Jokic and Murray being the best duo in the league. I have zero argument with you on that, JJ. I'm just talking about us as a whole when we go all over the place and we jump into these topics every single month. It's a different best duo. So I'm going to give it to him in this postseason.
Hold on a second. Steven, I'll let you jump in. The last point I made is the important point here, Perk. It's not about individual skill. It's not about individual stats. Obviously, mm-hmm. We know Steph is great. We know KD and Book are great. We know Tatum and Brown are great. It's how these two players complement each other. That's what makes them the best duo right now. No. That's what made them the best duo in the regular season. That's what's going to make them the best duo next season. No duo that perfectly complement each other the way these two do, and it allows everyone else to shine in their roles.
I never said you was wrong. I thought you broke down the clip, like did a remarkable job. But we wasn't saying they were the best duo in the regular season. Hell, I don't know if any one of us on this panel or in the media I heard picked the Denver Nuggets to even win the damn title, to be honest with you. I mean, so we're here now, and yes, in this postseason, they have been the best duo. But we can't sit up here and say that we all were saying before the postseason started that we was banking and saying that Jamal Murray and Jokic was the best duo in the league, because we weren't. Nobody was. I didn't hear, and I watch every single show across
I wasn't. I wasn't prompted the question. Okay, I wasn't prompted the question. And just to be clear, I picked Denver in every series, and I said after the first two games against Minnesota, this is the team to beat. They absolutely have looked like the best team in basketball since the first round. They have been the most consistent. They've had the most questions to solve for an opposing coach. This has been the best team now for 2 months.
Yeah, but JJ, before the postseason, did you pick the Nuggets? Because I remember you saying about the Celtics being the best team.
No. So you're 100% correct. I didn't pick anybody before the postseason started. And to be fair, I was pretty harsh on Denver. 7-10 their last 17 games. They rested guys. Mm-hmm. They punted some games. Multiple game losing streaks. They treated the last 20% of the regular season like it was the preseason. I didn't like that, and I called them out on that. Yep.
No, I'm with you. But I'm saying is, to me, they've been the best duo in the postseason. That's all I'm saying, in the postseason.
Well, I'm mad about that last comment by JJ because I was going to get him on that because I remembered what you had said about Denver approaching the playoffs because of the way that they played the last 2 weeks of the season. So, I mean, you got me there because I was exactly what I was going to bring up about you, number one. Number two, definitely I'm in no position to dispute it because I was all on Boston. I was thinking Boston and what they brought to the table and how they were going to avenge what transpired last year in the NBA Finals. I looked at their team from top to bottom. I looked at the fact that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown was on that squad. I'm thinking about Robert Williams III, along with Al Horford being in the lineup and thinking that they would have been a much better matchup, obviously, for the Denver Nuggets in this particular situation, but they got beat by the Miami Heat, so props to the Miami Heat. You know, I do love the fact that you used the word synchronicity. I mean, I'm very impressed with that, JJ.
What? Is it synchronicity?
I don't think it's a word.
Is it a word?
Synchronicity.
Yes.
Or he used it. I think it might be a word. The other thing that I would add next time, instead of the iPad, use the big board. It's there for a reason, particularly when you're wearing a suit with a nice tie instead of one of them sorry collars that you're usually wearing where you want to sue your dry cleaners. But that's a different subject for another day. Here's the bottom line.
If you're the Miami Heat, it's not a me issue. That's a Tatiana issue.
I understand what I'm saying. If you're the Miami Heat, the Denver Nuggets shot 61% from two-point range last night, and opponents have been shooting 57% against Miami in these playoffs. And so when you can attack Miami in the interior, I think that's something that you got to pay attention to. If you're looking at Jamal Murray and what Jokic and him bring to the table, obviously it's a bit easier for them. Here's the only thing that I would throw out with you, JJ, that I would say I'm not disputing what you're saying about Jokic and Murray, especially in these playoffs. But I would like to add, you went up against Minnesota, up and coming, but not necessarily there yet, okay? In the second round, you went up against Phoenix. You got to ride Devin Booker and Kevin Durant because you traded away half your team to get KD, so depth was an issue against Phoenix. And then, of course, with the Los Angeles Lakers, I mean, you handled your business and you swept them. I'm just looking at them and I would have liked to have seen Denver against
Minnesota series. The revisionist history
really
from you, Stephen A.
I feel like we're dancing around this debate. Are we debating this or not? Are Jokic and Murray the NBA's best duo? I didn't say postseason.
Right now they are.
I said NBA's
right
best duo. JJ's saying yes.
Yes.
You're saying no, Perk. So yes. Who is it?
No, I didn't say no, Miley.
You said
right
only for
now.
The postseason. I'm not talking about the postseason.
Well,
I'm just saying best duo, period, in the NBA.
That's where we at. We're in the postseason. All I'm saying is that all I'm saying.
Answer the question, Perk.
This one?
No, it's just like we're dancing. We're not debating. Like we're dancing around the debate.
I'm not dancing about nothing.
Our mood was good until we heard you singing.
I said that they're the best duo in this postseason.
Okay. All right.
Oh, we got the definition. It is a word.
We're good.
All right. Dang.
It is a word. It is a word. That's why I give you credit for it. I know it's a word.
Yeah, we got the definition up there right now.
Simultaneously occurrence of events which appear significantly related.
Yes. Synchronicity.
Right. We're going to leave it there.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
Okay, so we like to educate on the show. We also like to learn, right? So JJ, synchronicity is a word. We've got the definition right here. The simultaneous occurrence of events which appear significantly related but have no discernible causal connection. Do you feel a little better?
Well, I'm...
It's not synchronicity.
Yes, that's what I feel bad about. I screwed up an SAT word, and really those are the things that keep me up at night. You know, Just when you misspeak and it's just so blatantly obvious that you messed up.
You must have done okay on those SATs because you got into Duke.
Well, I got into Duke because of my jump shot.
You said it, not me. Oh, my gosh. All right, we ready to talk these Celtics, guys? They say head coach Joe Mazzulla will return next season. Mazzulla, 34, led the Celtics to a 57-25 record and the number two seed in the East in his first season on the bench. However, Boston's season ended Monday with a Game 7 loss following a near-historic comeback from a 3-0 series deficit. Here's president of basketball ops Brad Stevens on whether Mazzulla is the right man for the job.
Yeah, I think he is. And I thought he, again, did a really good job with this group. Everybody's going to overreact to the best players and coaches after every game. That's always the way it is. We know that going in, so we have to, you know, be able to judge things on the whole.
Just real quick to clear up any potential gray area, Joe is back next year.
Yeah.
Do you plan on offering Jaylen Brown an extension this summer, and do you get a sense that he still wants to play in Boston?
I can say, you know, without a doubt, like, we want Jaylen to be here, and he's a big part of us, and we believe in him. And Jaylen had a great year, all NBA year. You know, he's a big part of us moving forward in our eyes.
Perk, I want to start with you. You won a championship in Boston. Do you think Celtics fans should be optimistic with the current state of Boston?
No, not right now. I mean, until they make some adjustments, one on the sideline to help Joe Mazzulla. You know, I look at the Miami Heat and I watch you have Malik Allen, Caron Butler, old school McAdoo, and you have Quinn. Guys that actually played in that organization. Guys that could actually fill in that gap between Eric Spoelstra and the sideline. You need guys to be able to relate, deliver messages at time on what it means to be the Heat coach, being the Heat culture, and hold the players accountable. I look at the San Antonio Spurs and how Greg Popovich always go back to hire some of his former players on those sidelines as assistant roles because he knows he's going to be able to trust those assistants to install in them the Spurs culture. Same with Golden State, right? Bringing back Andre Iguodala, we know he wasn't going to play a minute, but we know how valuable he was in that locker room. You see them add Sean Livingston, guys who played there. The Boston Celtics don't do that for some damn reason. You have a lot of options out there that came from under that window. And I have a problem with them not putting people on those sidelines in the assistant coaching role, like a Rajon Rondo, who could actually help one of the brilliant minds that this game has ever saw. You know, putting in those seats. Now, when it comes down to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I believe it ran its course, and I'm going to stand on that. When you look at this past series, and when you look at when the Celtics won three straight to even the series up, the Celtics were at their best when Jason Tatum moved to the point forward position. He went 33-11-7. He went 21-11-8. He went 31-12-5 in those three wins, and it's because he is starting to grow. He is your franchise guy. And I heard Stephen A. the other day talking about, will Jaylen Brown be able to take a lesser role? That's going to be hard for a young player to do, S.A. When you look at a lot of guys that accomplished and won championships when they got to 27 and 28, they had already accomplished everything that they needed to accomplish on the individual base. So I don't know what Jaylen Brown goals are, but I think it has ran its course.
But hold on a second. I'm confused on that last point, Park. Because Jaylen Brown will likely sign a max contract. Okay, that's check one. You got paid. All NBA this year, check. All-star this year, check. Second time. I'm confused. Can you clarify that last point? Because he has done everything except win a championship.
No, he haven't done everything, right? Because he haven't won the MVP and a lot of goals
you,
for a
and
lot
you
of
think, you think Jaylen no, Brown is going to be
no,
MVP?
I don't think it, but we don't. But listen, JJ, I didn't say I believe he's going to win the MVP. We don't know what his goals are as an individual player. The same way I was on the Oklahoma City Thunder team and everybody was wondering why James Harden left and why he wouldn't stay in Oklahoma City when the money wasn't that much bigger that he took in Houston at the time.
$4 million. But, $4 million.
So he left and went to Houston, and we're like, what are you doing? But he showed the world what he was doing. And you know what? I went down to apologize to James that after we finished the season because I was very critical of him. But he had goals that he wanted to accomplish individually. And I didn't want to fault him for that. Now that he didn't won the MVP, now that he didn't been, you know, the scoring champion on numerous occasions and things to that nature, now he's set to go and win his NBA titles. Again, I'm not sitting up here saying this is how Jaylen Brown feels. I'm speculating. But nobody knows how he feel right now. But I'm saying is it's hard for young guys to buy into winning and sacrificing when they believe that they could be better somewhere else and accomplish a little bit more. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, and it's a fair point, and it's a great reference to the Harden OKC thing. Appreciate the clarification on that. And like Stephen A. always says, and I've sort of reiterated this, you just said it as well, we don't know what Jaylen's thinking. We don't know what his goals are, and I'm not going to ever criticize a player for having goals like that. That's ultimately what we should all have, right? I want to say this, though. In the overall question, I think we've lost a little bit of the context of this Celtics season because we want to spurn out, hot takes and you know, we got to do some content. Yeah, I get it. Joe Mazzulla was named the interim head coach on a Friday. Training camp started on Tuesday. Joe Mazzulla was behind the bench last year. Wasn't even a front of bench guy. So Ime's out. You've got 4 days to fill out your staff before training camp. I know because I met with them on Sunday. They were trying to get me to be there on Tuesday for training camp and be an assistant coach. They had little to no time. Then the season starts. Number two offense, number two defense, second most wins. Get to a game seven of the conference finals. Oh, by the way, one of the front-of-the-bench guys, Damon Stoudemire, leaves in April, or I'm sorry, mid-March, because he signs to be the Georgia Tech head coach. So he is a rookie head coach going through his first playoffs. Did he make mistakes? Sure, we can point to him, end-of-game stuff, game management, not calling time, all that stuff. Like, I get it. We can point to all that. It's a learning experience. Brad talked about that yesterday. It's a learning experience for Joe. I have no doubt Joe is the right guy for this team. They do need to fill out the staff. I just read, I believe it was yesterday, the day before, a lot of those guys will be going to Houston to be with Ime on that bench. So that's the big question mark for me. The big question mark for that, or I should say, the question mark that is been solved for me, they should absolutely bring Jaylen Brown back. They should absolutely max him out. And I'm totally comfortable with that duo going forward as your cornerstones trying to win a championship.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of things. Number one, I never heard Brad Stevens say they would give him the max. That's number one. Number two, the max for him would be 5 years, $295 million. Is he going to turn down $275 million? I mean, we don't know that. Can anybody else give him that number? The answer is no. And so when I look at it from that perspective, I say to myself, okay, I'm down for keeping Tatum and Brown together with one caveat, which I've repeatedly mentioned to you, JJ, and I'll say to Big Perk right now. My issue, Big Perk, is what does Jaylen Brown want? We don't know, which you obviously reiterated earlier. If Jaylen Brown says, I want to be the guy, I don't want to play second fiddle behind Jason Tatum. That is the only condition under which I support the Boston Celtics moving on from Jaylen Brown. That's it. There's no other reason to get rid of Jaylen Brown. He's 26 years old. He just finished averaging 26 a game. The brother is an all-star. He can ball. We know how formidable he can be. His game 7 wasn't that impressive. It's just one game. But him with Jason Tatum, who's 24, going on 25 years of age, unless he's 25 already, okay? I'm looking at him. I'm looking at Smart, Marcus Smart, who's under 30. I'm looking at Derek White, who's under 30. I'm looking at Malcolm Brogdon, who's at 30. I'm looking at this squad, which is relatively young, and I don't mind going back with the same unit. I don't mind putting them on the court together, the same squad again next season, thinking, can they win 57 games? Yes. Can they win 57 games and end up back in the Eastern Conference Finals? You damn right I believe they could do it. Could they beat a Milwaukee? Could they beat a Philadelphia? Could they beat a Miami if they went at it again? I think that they can do something like that. They didn't do it this go round, but I think they could do that. I think they could come out of the East and go back to the NBA Finals with the same exact squad that they have right now. That's my personal belief. As far as Joe Mazzulla, here's what I would say to you, JJ. He does not deserve to be fired. I'm glad that Brad Stevens gave him a vote of confidence. Brad Stevens should be the first one to give him a vote of confidence. Brad Stevens coached the Boston Celtics for 8 years, never took him to the finals. And I think Brad Stevens was an exceptional coach. I'm very fond of Brad Stevens as a coach before he moved upstairs. I think he's got an exceptional basketball mind. I think he coached very well. They went to 3 conference finals and 1 semifinals in a four-year span straight. Mm-hmm. With Brad Stevens coaching him, I definitely think that he's the perfect person to say, yes, keep Joe Mazzulla around. This was his first year. However, let's remember, there was some noise, JJ, and that noise was emanating out from Game 3. How bad they looked in Game 3, the fact that they seemed to quit, and there was questions as to whether or not he had the pulse of the team. That's when the noise started coming out. And it wasn't just from this show. It's from the city of Boston, too. You had people in Boston saying, this dude is not Ime Udoka. This dude is not ready. He proved them wrong by winning those 3 straight and forcing a game 7. But prior to that, there was a question mark. And it wasn't just, it didn't come out of thin air. There were people in Boston that were calling for his head.
Well, let me tell both of y'all this, okay? One, falling short is not going to get it when it comes down to the city of Boston and the state of Massachusetts. When you talk about the city of champions, reaching conference finals and reaching the finals, that's not go get it. 8.5 years I spent in Boston, and the goal was never to reach the conference finals or the NBA finals. The ultimate goal and one of the most historical go ahead, man.
I just got a question. No, I'm only interrupting because not just for a statement, for a question, Perk. I just finished saying Brad Stevens was there for 8 years.
No.
Went to three conference finals. I mean, didn't he come up short?
No. I got you on that. But what I'm saying is I'm going back to JJ on the point that reaching conference finals and doing all that, that's not go get it.
By the way, Boston's won one championship since the 1980s. Hold on. Time out.
They got 17 banners. Relax. 17 banners.
I'm well aware.
Relax.
They have won one championship since the 1980s. And you were on that team. Hold on.
Listen for a second. I'm just enlightening you as a guy that actually played in the franchise. Can you just listen for a second?
Yes, but you've already made your point. I'm just trying to finish.
No, I haven't made my point.
Okay, go ahead.
I haven't made my point. My point in saying is that nobody gives a damn about Joe Mazzulla taking over the team at on a Friday. You making more excuses than a brother going to jail. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. He was hired as the intern. And they decided, and I was on this show, and Stephen A. was on this show with me, and they decided to make him and give him the title of the head coach. And I came on here and I said that I thought they anointed him with the head coaching job too soon. They should have waited and evaluated him once the postseason was over. You want to know why, JJ? Because didn't we see Budenholzer get fired this offseason, a championship coach? Didn't we see Nick Nurse get fired this offseason, a championship coach? Didn't we see Monty Williams, who just got the Brinks truck back up to his house, get fired from the Phoenix Suns, a championship coach? And didn't we see Doc Rivers, another championship coach, get fired? So my thing was to wait it out. Don't give him the head coaching role. Don't give him an extension. Weigh out your options. Let's see where the chips fall once the season over with. Now, all of a sudden, guess what? If you're not tied to Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics ended the way that they ended their season, you still had a Nick Nurse that was out there. You still had a Monty Williams that was out there. And you still have a Mike Budenholzer that is out there.
I just have to, even if you don't want to bring back Doc. Yeah.
Go ahead, JJ.
Understand your point, Perk. I just want to point out two things real quick. You need to know the difference between context and excuses. No one's making any excuses. I actually pointed out that he made some mistakes in the playoffs, okay? So if you listen, you'll hear that.
No, I heard it.
Secondly, you can't bemoan coaches getting fired and then also say, I'm totally fine with the Boston Celtics having four coaches in 4 years. You think that's the solution? You know about continuity. You played for Doc for a number of years. Continuity matters in our league. Continuity matters. The evaluation period, the interim head coach period, what is going through the play? You know this better than anyone. You tore your ACL in game six of the NBA Finals. Jason Tatum sprains his ankle on the first play of game seven of the conference finals, man. You know this better than anyone else. Weird stuff happens in the postseason. The evaluation period, whenever that was that they extended him, gave him the official head coaching title, I think they had evaluated him enough. I think guy knows what he's doing.
Can I respond to your game seven Jason Tatum ankle sprain? It shouldn't have never got to a damn game seven. They shouldn't have never lost three in a row when having home court advantage against the Miami Heat when they were clearly the better team. So they shouldn't have lost the first two games at home. And they shouldn't have went down 3-0 to put themselves in those positions. This is why you don't put yourself in those positions. Because you could get to a game seven, and we have talked about this every single time, every single season, in every single locker room that I've been in, that anything could happen in the game seven. That's why you don't want to play them. And that's why you shouldn't put yourself in position to get to game sevens, especially when you was a favorite by a big amount. The Heat had a 5% chance, a less than a 5% chance of winning that series. They went and beat Boston twice in Boston. Twice. Without Tyler Hero. Without Victor Oladipo. Twice. You don't get to a game seven.
Perk, as Stephen A. pointed out earlier this week, Boston lost a bunch of home games last year, too, with a different head coach.
Went to the finals.
That's true.
All right. I let that go as long as we could.
They were 500 team at home in the playoffs last year.
I do have to get into commercial break, guys. Work with me here.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh, hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Good day. Welcome back to First Take on this Feel Good Friday. Coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 in New York City. It's time for some quick takes. Let's get it. Stephen A. Teflon Tom told ESPN that he has no plans to play in the NFL again after retiring for the second time in February. Stephen A., you buying it?
Yes, I am buying it. I mean, he's over 45. He's achieved greatness. He's done it for long enough. And a lot of things have happened in his life extending beyond this on-field, on-field play in football. So I just think his mind and his heart is somewhere else, and he's thinking about a new beginning.
Yeah, and a lot of other opportunities he's going to pursue. All right, to Baltimore we go. After picking up OBJ and re-signing their franchise quarterback Lamar Jackson, Ravens tight end Mark Andrews says, quote, "I think we're going to have a dangerous offense." Obviously, they added a lot of weapons, Stephen A. How far does Lamar have to take the Ravens to quiet the critics?
Well, it would be nice to see him in an AFC championship game, number one. Number two, guys like Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes beat them en route to getting to an AFC championship game, at least one of them. Put yourself back in the mix. We know how great he is, but the reality of the situation is that Baltimore is a damn good team. We look at them, but the issue has been the receivers they've gotten for him in the past or lack thereof. That is no longer an issue. He got his bag. That's no longer an issue. Now it's time to remind everybody, as a quarterback with your passing skills, that we shouldn't be talking about Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and now Aaron Rodgers. You need to be in that conversation after the bag you just got.
All right, we'll keep it going here. The Larry O'Brien Trophy went skydiving in Denver. Stephen A., let me ask you this. Between you, JJ, and Perk, most likely to skydive?
First of all, Perk's big ass ain't skydiving. I don't believe that for 1 second. So let's get that out the way, okay? He ain't trying that. I would say amongst the three of us, I would have to say J.J. Redick would be more likely than the rest of us to skydive because, he seemed like that. He seemed like that adventurous type. See, the brothers, we listen, we know we ain't birds. We, the only time we try to be up in the air is when we in a plane. We ain't trying to get courageous. We hesitant to get on. I mean, we not trying to do but so much in that regard. So I would tell you, we would be a bit more hesitant. Not that we wouldn't do it,
it's
but JJ would be more likely to do it than the rest
JJ,
of us.
JJ, would you like to respond?
Well, I just, it's an easy low-hanging fruit just because of the natural fit of being Top Gun that you would expect me to jump out of an airplane. I have no desire to ever jump out of an airplane. But I will say this, if Perk will jump out of an airplane with me, I will do it, Perk. And it will
JJ,
be content gold.
What?
Guess what? And guess what? I don't mind. See, that's when Stephen A. think he knows me, but he really don't. He's from the city.
You're right about
right?
that.
He's from the city. I'm from the country. Where you used to seeing rats run across the street, we see them on a day-to-day basis. How about seeing a gator cross the street or a wild hog? See, it's a difference. I didn't already did a lot of adventurous stuff. Mm. It's a lot of things that you don't know about me that you will soon find out. And I would love to jump out of an airplane holding the Larry O'Brien Trophy. You know, I live my life like
that. Hold on, one more thing.
Yes, I would. Let me tell you something. I live my life every day with one foot in the grave and the other on the banana peel. That's how dangerous I am.
Oh, my Lord. So you know what this means, Molly? You know what this means? 1 foot in the grave, another foot on a banana peel. Only Perk would come up with a line like that. Okay. So understand, because there's two things that's important here. Yeah. Big Perk, 6'10", about 350. This brother, even though he lost some pounds. This brother would jump out of a plane, number one. That's J.J. Redick just said on national television, he would jump out of a plane if Perk would do it with him. So am I to understand that First Take can let the world know that Kendrick Perkins and J.J. Redick are now going to jump out of an airplane together?
Yeah.
Wow, there's no
I don't know what I just signed up for, but yeah.
All right, you heard it, everyone. Watch
TV, send it. Because I'm not doing it.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.